on FM and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. With the latest news now.
Labour has ditched a pledge to invest £28 billion a year on environmental projects.
What won't now happen is that we won't make further or new investment decisions, and that means that we won't reach the £28 billion envisaged. That figure is effectively stood down.
Well, Sir Keir Starmer's confirmed it'll be drastically scaled back, with the party now set to spend £23 billion over the course of the next parliament. But it comes alongside plans to extend the windfall tax on oil and gas companies. Meanwhile, Sir Keir says Rishi Sunak should apologise as swiftly as possible for his transgender joke. Mr Sunak had accused Sir Keir of being incapable of defining a woman, whilst Esther Guy, murdered teenager Brianna Guy's mother, visited parliament. His comment prompted fierce criticism from across the political spectrum. Humza Yousaf's reshuffling his Scottish Government frontbench team. It's after his health secretary resigned after racking up a bill abroad on his parliamentary iPad of over £10,000. Scottish Conservative leader Douglas Ross questioned the First Minister today.
Humza Yousaf described Michael Matheson as a man of integrity and honesty. How much does he now regret those words?
Michael Matheson, of course, did make a mistake. He made that mistake and he apologised.
Next, armed police carried out two raids at addresses in Newcastle in the early hours of Thursday. It's part of their search for Clapham Alkali attack suspect Abdullah Zaidi. No arrests have so far been made. Much of the UK has faced travel disruption following widespread snow across northern England and Wales. Yellow weather warnings for snow and ice remain in place for many areas into Friday. There's been a sharp rise in people facing long waits in A&E. It comes as new figures show the number of flu patients in hospital in England has hit a new winter high. Despite this, the overall NHS waiting list continues to fall. And non-league side Chorley say they want to replicate the success of Wrexham after entering into negotiations for Boyzone to become the new face of their club. From Radio News Hub, I'm Phil Towers.
Radio Works.
The Hughes Report has recommended a compensation scheme for pregnant women who are given epilepsy medication that cause harm to their unborn babies. Laura Preston, lawyer at Slater & Gordon, has more.
If you were prescribed sodium valproate before or during pregnancy and you believe your child suffered damage or injury, you or your child may be able to make a claim. As these claims can be complicated, contact one of our specialist medical negligence solicitors at slatergordon.co.uk.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
Rain and snow will continue to push north into the evening with warnings in many places. Rainy but warmer in the south with high temperatures, a moderate 12 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village. Power up your gym routine at the YMCA Village. Try Nathaniel's group strength and conditioning classes and revamp your routine. See ymcanewarkshower.org for details or drop into the YMCA Village.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
One is you make me happy, two is you set me free from all the things that held me back from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness, now I can finally breathe, now I can finally breathe. But baby, don't you see, I still get frustrated and can lie when you keep I got 21 reasons why I do, 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 do,
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why.
And welcome to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. I have got a treat for you. This week I have the legend, that is Mr. Tony Smith, joining me this evening. Tony, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Now, this is, for me, this is amazing. We go back such a long time, don't we?
We do indeed, yeah.
So, really looking to talking about the old days and even talking about the current days. But, appreciate you coming in, mate.
Yeah, we go back 1,000 years. I think last time I saw you, you were black and white.
I'm on about the telly there, yeah? I just wanted to say big thanks to Todd last week. We had Todd on, Todd Cawthorne from the YMCA. It was a really good chat with him, ex-basketballer as well as running the YMCA. So really enjoyed that. Tony and I, we're going to talk a bit about the local sport for a few minutes after this break, and then we're going to have a good old chat. We'll see you in a bit.
When you get weak, I'll make you strong again. When all is lost, I will comfort you. So give me your love, I need it. Give me your heart, I'm bleeding. Give me your love, I need it. Oh yeah.
morning and welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. As I've mentioned, I have a legend that is Tony Smith with me this evening. And yeah, welcome again, Tony.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
What's it like being in the old seat? Because you're on the other side now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, it's strange being interviewed as opposed to being an interviewer. But I say it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I mean, if you'd met my wife, it's a pleasure to be anywhere.
God, I hope she's not listening tonight. And I said to my wife it was going to be like this tonight. I said it was going to be carnage. I knew it was going to be carnage. We're just going to touch on a bit of sport that's been going on this week. And one of the biggest headlines is Dean Sugden, the boxing coach. It's got a great club. I mean, Newark's in a great place when it comes to boxing clubs. There's three or four good ones. We've got a lot of history with the boxing.
Yeah, I mean,
with Dean and Carl, and there's Isham.
Yeah.
Suggy's been named the Team GB coach on the boxing side of things, which is brilliant. Absolutely great. Kudos.
I think it's fantastic what Suggy's achieved at the club in terms of success. And there's the success that his sons have had, obviously, over the years.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that people don't realise is the amount of social work that Suggy's done, because he's taken an awful lot of kids off the street that go to that club that otherwise would be hanging around street corners and probably getting into bother. And he's been a fantastic servant to this town in that respect.
Definitely. Totally agree. And he's been in a couple of times with us, and we've had some great chats. Yeah, and we want to wish him all the very best with that, because that's an amazing thing. It's great kudos for him.
Yeah.
And it's great for the town as well.
It is, but I mean, the one thing this town has always been very strong on in terms of sport is it's boxing, as well as obviously the footballers. But the boxers were very blessed to have people like Carl Greaves and Isham Pickering that have gone to the very top of their
profession.
Yeah, the top of their profession, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sort of, I was there at Nottingham when Greavesy won the world title. And okay, it was only Division 5 of the world titles, but he was still the best in the world at his particular category.
Absolutely.
And it was a wonderful night.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And I mean, as I say, Newark's blessed with the boxing guys. And well done to Dean on that. That's amazing. It's been a busy, busy week on the football front last week as well. Newark Town won 3-2 against San Diego, which we thought they should have won a bit more.
Yeah, I was away at San Diego when Newark Town went there and won 5-0.
Yeah.
And San Diego did well to get nil. I mean, Newark Town stuffed them.
Stuffed them.
And I was surprised at the narrow scoreline at the YMCA on Saturday. But it's Division 1 is very much like the Championship in, you know, top football.
Everybody can beat each other.
Very, very competitive league.
Yeah.
And for San Diego to keep Newark Town to a 3-2 scoreline, they must have played out of the socks.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you went to the Kirby Muxloe game, didn't you?
Yeah, and I was at Leicestershire to see Kirby Muxloe take on Clipston. And I've been watching Newark Town for many, many years, and the best performance I've ever seen Newark Town give was this season when they beat Clipston 3-0 at the YMCA. And Clipston had just beaten Bourne 3-1, another game that I was at the Lido.
All over the top there, aren't they?
And, you know, it was just Bourne at the top, Clipston, I think, a second, Newark Town a third.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for Newark Town. It's a 3-point.
It's brilliant.
So, yeah, that was cool. Fortunes haven't changed too much yet for Flowserve since they got rid of the manager. They lost 2-1 away at Wisbeach. But they've got to turn that around, because they're better than that. I'm sure they are. And I think things will change. It was a busy old time Sunday mornings. I just wanted to say that obviously ladies sport is something that's big on the agenda for everybody. I mean, Newark ladies again, they're a fantastic win. They are doing amazing. They beat Southwell 7-1, but that ladies team has just come on leaps and bounds. And actually, Newark sport, there's like the Newark rugby ladies. That's been amazing. Yeah. They're coming on. And then obviously there's the hockey. the hockey, they had a good weekend. The first, they won 2-1 against West Bridgeford. The seconds travelled to Lady Bay, but they got, unfortunately, they started well, but in the end, Lady Bay were a bit too strong for them. And then Newark Ladies Thirds, they went away to Nottingham and then won-nil win against Players. So
yeah.
It's like the ladies' sport is for me, it's such an up-and-coming thing. It's amazing. Well, and I'm really enjoying that.
I watch Newark Ladies on a regular basis on a Sunday, both the first team and the development team. And the ladies' first team, some of the football they play would stand comparison to any level of football.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't able to go to the game at Southwell City on Sunday, but I saw the video that Craig puts on there, and the construction of some of the Newark Town goals was absolutely outstanding.
Phenomenal. Hats off to the coach as well.
Yeah, I mean, Julie does a fantastic job there with Hannah, but the girls themselves, they're good footballers.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are so quick to say, oh, it's only women's football. But it's a good watch. It's a really good watch, and they deserve to have more supporters going along there, because people only need to see it once and they go, hang on, this is all right.
I'm going to come back again, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Finally, we just want to talk about Newark First and the rugby. They got a game in last weekend. They went down to Lichfield and lost 67-24. It was a heavy defeat. It didn't look like being that at the start, but it looked like Lichfield were too strong for them in the end. But there is going to be some rugby this weekend. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but we shall see. But we'll talk about that next week. Straight after this break then, Tony, we're going to get into having a good old chat about the old times.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
My mum and dad say that I don't need lots of sugar. I'm sweet enough already. So we used the Change for Life food scanner app to find out how much sugar is in our food and drink. It's surprising how much we found. So, I put my detective hat on to find the healthier choices. Woohoo! Found one, Mum! You can be food smart too. Download the free Change for Life food scanner app today.
You saw me walking along the beach. You watched me turn round the headland, and the tide, it cut me off. The rocks were wet, too wet to climb, so I panicked. But you didn't. You dialed 999 and asked for the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
And I just want to say, whoever you are, thank you.
In an emergency at the coast, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Windows are so important to the look of your home, and North Knots Blinds in Newark make it look better every time. Since 2004, we've been manufacturing a massive choice of blinds and shutters at our factory on Brunel Drive, Newark. We're a local family-run business, and we know that in tough times, people need a helping hand. So we've kept our 2023 prices. Get the blinds and shutters you deserve at a price you can afford. Call Newark 614 100 or visit our showroom on Brunel Drive.
Make your home look better every time with North Knots Blinds.
Have you seen the news on our social media pages?
Newark and Sherwood's Community Lottery is up and running right now.
Tickets are just £1 each. Get yours now to be in with a chance of winning prizes up to £25,000 and support your favourite local radio station too.
Here at Radio Newark, we provide a much-loved and valued service for our community. Entirely staffed and run by volunteers, we give a voice to people, organisations and events in the Newark and Sherwood district.
We need your help so we can stay on air and continue to offer and even expand our service. So choose to support Radio Newark, and 50% of the cost of all tickets sold from our page goes to help us do just that.
You can buy your tickets online at www.newarkandsherwoodlottery.co.uk. Pick Radio Newark as the local cause you want to support, And who knows, you could be the lucky winner scooping that £25,000 jackpot one weekend.
Newark and Sherwood's Community Lottery. Get your tickets now.
Please gamble responsibly.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport. I've got a big treat for you this week. Tony Smith, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. I'm lying. I've got a real back problem, and today I had to retire from lollipopping. So you know you're getting old when you've got to retire from lollipopping.
I was going to mention that. I was going to say, from the non-sport perspective, we'll start off with that one. So you have retired today.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had 5 years in the best job in the world, 50 minutes a day of pure laughter. And unfortunately, because of my health condition now, because the back's gone completely, I can no longer stand up even for the 25-minute session. So it was a sad day today, but wonderful memories.
You've had some good times, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was blessed to be invited to the school today to an assembly. All the kids were there, and they all said, "Thank you, Tony, bye," and all the rest of it. But I told them a story, my favourite story in 5 years of lollipopping. There was a young Eastern European lad had just come to Newark, didn't know a word of English. It came up to my knee. And basically what his mum and dad had obviously done the night before is that they'd taught him to say in English. They taught him what to say in English when he got to the crossing in the morning. And so he got to the side of the road, so I stuck my arms out, held the stick and said, "Come on then, let's be having here." And he walked across the road and he got to my knee and looked up and he went, "Thank you, lollipop lady." I told that this morning and all the kids collapsed with laughter. It was wonderful.
Oh, that's brilliant. You can't buy stories like that, can you?
No, it's just very, very special. It's what everybody will know as Hortonville School, now the King's Academy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say a lot of things about Hortonville, but every single kid, every single morning said thank you. And if they didn't say thank you, the mum said, "What do we say?" Proper old value traditions.
Great.
And then that is what made the job wonderful. And it's also what makes Hortonville wonderful, in fairness.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Well, good luck for the future, Tony. But
thank you.
Let's not talk about the future. I want to talk
let's
about...
Let's talk about the past.
Let's talk about... So you moved here in 1986, didn't you?
Yeah.
And is that when you started straight away at the Advertiser?
Yeah, I moved down here from Yorkshire. And I got a job as sports editor at the Advertiser.
So where are you from?
From Bradford.
You're Bradford, okay.
Yeah. And so I came down here from the Barnsley Chronicle, where I was deputy sports editor in South Yorkshire. But I came down here and I didn't know anybody. And nobody knew me, most importantly. So in order to get my face and name across to people, I started a column on the inside of the last sports page called Sports Thoughts, which had my head and shoulder picture on it, and I tried to write as funnily and as contemporarily about modern sport, and so that people would laugh when they read the stuff, and then when they saw me in the pubs around town, they would approach me and...
Oh, something to talk about.
By the way, my son's a brilliant right-back. And and then it worked a treat for 10 years.
Yeah?
Until, unfortunately, I repeated myself in the column with a very funny story, but nevertheless, I'd written it 4 years before, and once you repeat yourself, end of column.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you... Sport was inbred in you.
Yeah, I mean...
And I've got a lot to thank you for, Tony.
Well, yeah, we go back, as I said, early doors, donkey years, the donkey's years, because I can remember when you were bagging goals for fun at Simo's and then got signed up by Grantham Town.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to Grantham Town these days, that was when Grantham Town was a respected non-league football club on the circuit. And... I worked there in 1982 as commercial manager when the club was at London Road before they moved to South Stephen Stadium.
Yeah.
And so I knew Grantham Town very, very well. But I was stood amongst the Grantham Town fans when Grantham played against Southport. And was it the last 16 or the quarterfinals of the FA Vars?
It was, yeah.
Vars, yeah. And you were playing up front, and the Grantham fans were singing, "Margo, Margo." And I don't know how you felt, but I felt so blooming proud of you, or for you, on your behalf. It was a wonderful moment that a mate of mine was, you know, being sung to by a crowd. It was brilliant.
I just, I forgot all about that, Teddy.
Yeah.
But look, I have to say, you helped me get where I was. Obviously, I mean, Simo's was great, and I love playing for Simo's. Always did. But Newark, we were talking about this in the break. Newark had, it was a great footballing time for Newark, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because we had real characters, and not only in the 2-11s, but also the referees were incredible characters. And it's very, very easy for people of my age, I was going to say our age, but certainly my age.
I'm not far behind you, Tim.
Well, yeah, but you've never retired as a lollipop man. That's when you're really old. And so it's very, very easy for people of our generation to go, "Oh, the olden days were better." But they were, when it comes to local football, when it comes to the Newark Alliance, when the Newark Alliance, I think when I started, they might have had 5 divisions. Certainly had 4.
Certainly 4.
Yeah.
And it was every league, every division was competitive.
You could see a really good game at the bottom of Division 4. You know, bottom playing second bottom in Division 4. It was a cracking game of football.
Yeah.
And it got to the stage when, in my latter years at the Advertiser, where if you strayed outside of the top 4 of the Premier Division, the game was pretty poor.
Right.
So in the course of my 25 years at the paper, the standard dropped every season, and when I left, I think that the Alliance had to amalgamate with the Grantham League because of the sheer shortage of clubs.
Yeah, and players.
Yeah, and that's because obviously people these days have to go with where the jobs take them and where the work is. And these days, we don't have proper weekends anymore. You know, it tends to be just part of the working week.
Yeah.
If you're in a certain job. And, you know, I mean, I know that myself. I used to, when I was at Barnsley, it was a 7-day-a-week job, because you had to cover sport at weekends as well as getting the paper out all week.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking that, but it is to the detriment of sport as a whole.
It's, so when we talk about characters, we talk about, well, what we're going to do, we're going to have a little break, okay. And then what we'll do is, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those characters. to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. And alongside me this evening, I have Mr. Tony Smith, the legend that used to be the advertiser. Everybody knows him as the Mr. Advertiser back in the day. You used to cover so many sports, Tony, didn't you? You really were the man in the advertiser, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I was the only one that did sport. And when I came to the Newark Advertiser in 1986, they'd never had a sports editor before. In the 143-year history.
Wow.
And after I left in 2011, they haven't had one since. So I feel quite chuffed that I am the only one, because they used to get a bloke who would do this as they have these days. Bloke who does the sport, when it's finished, goes on to sort of general reporting and sort of... that's the way they did it. But I got invited to... Bowbridge Road School to do a questions and answer thing with the kids.
Go ahead.
So the kids are all sat around in a semicircle, and I wore a tracksuit and breathed in, so I looked sporty. And so basically, the kids were, yeah, you. Which is the most famous footballer you've ever met? Yeah, you. And the all the usual questions. And this little kid, 10-year-old kid, put his hand up, and I went, yeah, you. And he said, from January to December, how many sports do you cover in the Advertiser? I went, oh, wow. Crikey. What a fantastic question from a 10-year-old kid. I've got no idea. I said, but I'll go home and work it out on a piece of paper, and then I'll phone your teacher and she can let you know. Magic question, mate. And so I got home and worked it out A to Z, and it was 142.
142 sports?
142 different sports, if you go right through from angling to yachting.
And so that's sporting people in Newark that partake. Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, in those days, I don't know what it's like now, but our catchment area was massive.
Mm.
And back in those days, I think we sold 75,000 issues a week. So it was a pretty massive concern.
My word.
These days, because of a double dip recession and all the rest of it, the advertiser's a different animal these days.
Yeah.
And but in its glory days, yeah, it was massive and covered a gigantic area, north to south, west to east.
And so 143 sports, Tony.
Yeah.
So we're going to touch on football in a little while. Let's just try and be a little bit eclectic.
Yeah. There was a girl called Alex Bennett, who was a swimmer from Bleasby. She got a Commonwealth gold medal in the 4x400 relay in Canada.
Wow.
In Vancouver. And she was also a model. And she was drop dead gorgeous. And I went round to interview her one day, and her mum said, I'll leave you two young people on the couch alone then. That's probably the highlight of my 25 years, to be honest.
That'll be the end of the show, though, right?
And it was a wonderful, wonderful moment. But she showed me a scrapbook. Sorry to lessen the story readers. But she ended up showing me a scrapbook, and she was turning over the pages, and every single headline, page after page, Bennett in the swim.
Wow.
So I showed a great lack of imagination when I was writing about swimming, obviously, because you'd only write about it once a month, probably, and the headline was identical. It was so embarrassing.
You don't remember the Gore Blimey one you wrote, do you? Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do. I wrote some horrific ones. My favourite one was cricket. And Balderton signed a guy from Sri Lanka called Melinda Warner-Piora. And he was playing in the Balderton first 11 and took something like 6 wickets and scored a century.
Oh, my God.
And my headline was Walking in a Melinda Wonderland, which I got untold abuse for.
Well, I don't know why. That's brilliant. That's fabulous one.
But my favourite ever sports headline, I think, was in the Daily Mail. And Billie Jean King won the ladies' title at Wimbledon. And she won it by hitting an ace to win the match. And the headline was Ace, King, Queen. I thought that was genius. I would give good money to be able to write like that. Jeez.
Oh, you weren't so bad, though. You did it. So we've got the swimmer. Obviously, what else? Apart from football, we'll come back to the footy.
Yeah, I suppose I was very lucky when I came to Newark because Newark Rugby Club were the top team in the East Midlands.
They were a very good team, weren't they? They were higher than they are now as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were... obviously not on a par with the likes of Leicester Tigers, but they weren't far off in terms of junior rugby. Mm. That they were absolutely outstanding. And we won loads and loads of things. Unfortunately, the first ever Newark versus Southwell game that I went to, I was at Newark and we scored a try late on. Obviously, in those days, I couldn't use words like we, because they had to be completely neutral. But Newark beat Southwell the try in the last minute, and I jumped up in the air and turned round and was looking straight into the face of the Southwell president, and I was wearing a Newark Rugby Club sweater and was obviously delighted at the late winner. And I think that soured my relationship with Southwell for many years.
You were always a bit contentious, though, so they should have expected that.
Oh, yeah, fair those, yeah.
We get the rugby guys in quite a lot, actually. Yeah. And the club itself is amazing. The youth section, the ladies have come in. And Newark first, all the way through, I think, went to Newark 6th, I think, at one time.
It's
amazing. And it's an amazing club.
Yeah, it's an amazing club, and it's also an amazing place to go to because I went on a guided tour of Murrayfield mm-hmm. when me and my wife had a long weekend in Edinburgh. And then I came back down to Newark and somebody gave me a guided tour of the new facilities at Kelham Road. And when you look inside into the inner sanctum, like the dressing rooms and what have you.
Yeah.
There wasn't a heck of a lot of difference between Kelham Road and Murrayfield.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, externally, the places are vastly different, but inside, the work that's been done by Newark Rugby Club people at that ground is pretty exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely. Just need to take another break, and I've got a few adverts, and we'll be back in a few seconds, Tony.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Whoa! Look how much saturated fat is in these chocolate biscuits. It's surprising how much is in our food and drinks. For us kids, eating too much saturated fat can lead to harmful fat building up inside, which we can't see, increasing the risk of heart disease or stroke when we get older. So be food smart. Download the free Change for Life food scanner app and start making healthier choices today.
If you've got flu, you might have a headache and wobbly balance. You could well feel sick or a bit dizzy. But in most cases, after a few days in bed, you should feel better. If you've got carbon monoxide poisoning, you might have a headache and wobbly balance. You could well feel sick or a bit dizzy. And after a few breaths in an enclosed space, you could be dead. So get a carbon monoxide alarm you can hear and get an expert to do a safety check every year. Carbon monoxide. Don't be a victim of the silent killer.
Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens are a local, independent, family-run business. We supply and fit bathrooms and kitchens, and we've been serving the Newark area for the last 10 years. We do everything, from a single tap to a full bathroom or kitchen, all supplied and fitted. Come and visit our large showroom, with designs for all styles and budgets on display. We're next to the police station on Queen's Road in Newark. When you're planning your next bathroom or kitchen, think Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens. Call Newark 703-4 or check out our website, newarkbathroomsandkitchens.co.uk.
Radio Newark.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with myself, Gorey, and Tony Smith. We're just, yeah, so we're trying to sort of keep away a little bit from the football at the minute, aren't we, Tony? But you, cricket's your second love, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was very blessed in that for my 25 years at the Advertiser, I had an access all areas pass every summer for Trent Bridge.
Yeah.
And I know every nook and cranny of that ground, and it was just, it's the best ground in the world, bar none.
Trent Bridge, I love it.
Yeah, it's the, all the improvements that they've done at Trent Bridge, they've never detracted from the intrinsic beauty of the place. Every new thing, the Fox Road stand, everything, the Radcliffe Road end, it all fits in.
Yeah.
Nothing looks wrong and out of place. Possibly the Batman scoreboard looks a bit silly, but, you know, apart from that, everything is, just fits into to God's own cricket ground.
Amazing.
But cricket, I loved. And then at the age of 35, I actually joined RHP and played for them for 7 seasons in the Newark Alliance. And for the second 11 in the Bassett Law League on a Sunday. On a Saturday. But in the end, at the age of 42, I had to retire because I was breaking something every week and it was never records.
Well, I was never really a cricketer, I have to say. As I said, I'm just telling you in the break, Mark Fell used to say, right, Gorey, they were getting them all out for not a lot of runs, come and bowl. And after about 2 overs, we made a game of it. So he used to thank me for extending the match all the time. But I love playing. I love the camaraderie. I love in the field, but batting and bowling, Tony. So which one were you?
I wrote about it. I got asked to play for RHP because they will get a write-up on Friday. And it was nothing to do with ability. They said to me, do you bowl? I said, no, I used to when I was a kid, but the radar's gone completely. And so I started off opening the batting. And in the space of 10 weeks, I was down to number 11 because I've got no ability at sport whatsoever. That's why I became a journalist, because I really respect the lads who can do it like yourself. And that's why I came into the job, because you get a chance to rub shoulders with your heroes.
Well, to be fair, without you, though...
I'm not calling you my hero, by the way.
Well, I was just gonna, I was quite proud of that moment, then.
Oh, sorry. You can still have it, come on.
I'll keep it. I love cricket, but I was no good at it. I mean, I used to go to the test matches with my dad because he loved the test matches. Yeah, yeah. And like you say, Trent Bridge was a great... Headingley was a great ground. I went 81. I was there when Botham got that 147. So it was a great place to go. Atmosphere was always great.
Yeah, I was there in 1977 when Jeff Boycott scored his 100th 100 against Australia.
Wow.
But unfortunately, I was knocking off school with 3 mates. And quite literally, a schoolboy error, we took a great big bed sheet with Jeffrey Boycott for King written on it. And unfortunately, the physics teacher, where we should have been having double physics, he saw it in the, on the highlights at night time. We got 4 hours detention for that. worth every minute.
Oh, it was brilliant. we spoke about characters, didn't we? And
Dickie
that's
Slater,
one of the
mainly.
Dickie Slater, yeah, we spoke about Dickie Slater. Well, now, we got a few stories about Dickie, haven't we?
Well, yeah, when I first moved down to Newark from Barnsley, my first match I did was the Willie Hall Cup first round game at Fiskerton cum Morton, and it was Fiskerton versus Coddington, and Coddington were 3-0 up, and Kevin Harvey Cannon lived up to his nickname with a 30-yard pile driver into the top left hand corner, which completely beat the keeper. And Nigel Sandaver, who was playing fullback, jumped up and caught the ball on the line, just under the crossbar, bounced it and kicked it out. And everybody stopped for the penalty. And Dickie Slater was the referee. And he said, play on, gentlemen. And I'd never met Dickie before, but all the players had. And so they all, after a moment, oh my goodness, what's going on? They carried on playing.
Mm.
So I was gobsmacked because, A, it was a surefire penalty, but also the players carried on playing. And so I jogged alongside Dickie at half time while the players were going off for the cup of tea in the shack. And I said, "Ref, about 20 minutes in, was that a penalty?" And he said, "Oh, of course it was, but it would have spoilt the game at that stage." And he was dead right. But Dickie refereed to his own laws, which was great when he was in the Newark Alliance, but his problem came when he got given a Notts Intermediate Cup game and the side from Darkest Nottingham didn't know Dickie, and then he had problems because they had met him like me for that time for the first time. And that's when he got into a few scrapes.
He had massive respect in Newark. I mean, for a small guy, he kept everybody in check, didn't he?
I once gave him the greatest compliment you could ever give to a referee. I once told him about the fact he'd received the greatest compliment a referee can ever receive in a cup final at Simo's. And I was in the bar afterwards and Dickie walked up to me and said, "Hello, Tony, how are you doing?" And I said, "Dickie, you've just been given the best compliment a referee could ever receive." "Have I, Tony? What was that?" I said, "I was talking about you to somebody and they went, 'Oh, I never realised who the referee was.'"
Well, that's great, isn't it?
And if you can go through a game like that, you've done a cracking job as a ref.
He wasn't a very tall guy, we all know.
Mm.
And he's probably the only referee, I think, in my whole life who I've seen got picked up by a player. Were you there that day?
No, I wasn't. But Dickie was horrendously frustrating as a referee, but as a bloke, you couldn't wish to meet a better one.
No.
Lovely, lovely man.
Well, I worked with him at RHP.
Yeah, well,
And then he'd referee me at the weekend.
Yeah, I think he worked at somewhere like Dixon's until he was about 107, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But I loved the bloke to bits, but I was at the Sports Awards night one evening at the Palace, at the Palace Theatre, and I was with a young reporter. And we were having the cup of tea and a sandwich before the game, sort of set up in the posh bit. And Dickie came over and he said, and I introduced this young reporter and I said, "This is a local referee." And Dickie said, "Yes, I've had 973 games in Newark." And I said to the reporter, "Yes, and he's due a good one." But Dickie being Dickie laughed his head off, and you know, he's just a smashing bloke.
He is a smashing bloke. But Dave McMahon picked him up, and
Dave McMahon, yes.
Yeah. I think the best you couldn't do anything but laugh and carry on when he said, "If you don't put me down, I might have to book you."
Well, I never actually crossed paths with Dave McMahon myself because he was just before my time, because I came here in 86.
Yeah.
And so Dave McMahon was before my time, but I've heard as many Dave McMahon stories as I have Dickie Slater stories.
Yeah, his character. This is when you talk about the characters.
Yeah.
And Newark was blessed with some referees. I mean, we could talk, you'll have to come back in town and we'll talk about the players.
Yeah.
And we could talk about a few stories and... but Phil Joslin,
again, wonderful bloke, and how far he got in the game.
Amazing, wasn't it?
He once gave me a Borussia Dortmund shirt from a European game he'd been reffing. I mean, you don't get those, you know what I mean? David Coote, another one, has gone all the way in the game.
Yeah.
It just shows that... if you're good at what you do, you can go right to the top. It's probably why I only made it as far as the advertiser.
On that, we'll come back in a minute. We'll see in a few seconds.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs. On Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
My family and I are shaking off the salt. But did you know, most of the salt we eat doesn't come from the salt shaker. It's already in the foods we buy. Sauces, ready meals, cereals. It's surprising where salt pops up. That's why we use the Change for Life food scanner app. With a simple scan of the barcode, it shows us how much salt is in our favourite food, so we can make healthier choices. Easy. Be food smart. Download the food scanner app today.
How does it feel when you stop smoking?
Brilliant, I've finally quit.
I feel like I've got my life back.
I was so proud of myself.
I feel a lot richer.
It feels good.
I just feel fitter and healthier.
I felt much happier.
It's an amazing feeling when you stop smoking. With the help of NHS Smoke Free, you could experience that feeling for yourself. Our range of support tools, which includes face-to-face guidance from advisors, helps maximise your chances of success. Go online now and search for Smoke Free.
IT solutions can be a mystery to many people and many businesses. What you need is support from a company who hold the key to unlock your IT problems. You need Keyhole IT Solutions. They deal with everything IT related. They're local, personable and affordable. Quite simply, Keyhole IT Solutions are the one-stop shop for all of your IT needs. Call Newark 34 33 32 for a free, no-obligation IT audit. Or find us online at keyholeits.uk.
Hey there. Looking to revamp your routine and make 2024 your year of fitness and well-being?
Absolutely. Have you been to the YMCA Village? It's the place to transform your fitness journey.
Try Nathaniel's group strength and conditioning classes for unique results-driven workouts that'll leave you feeling empowered.
And if you're into nurturing your well-being, check out the yoga or Pilates classes in the YMCA studio.
Best part, book a free taster today and experience it for yourself.
And don't miss out on 30% off Villager membership. That's 30% off unlimited yoga, climbing, gym, Pilates and much more.
See ymcanewarkshearwood.org for details or drop into the YMCA Village.
Radio Newark. Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey and had a fab night with Tony Smith, who's still laughing.
I think it's a tremendous shame we can't put out live the chats we have in between.
The radio show wouldn't last long.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd get the sack down. I just wanted, we're talking about the referees, aren't we? Because I think if we go back to all of those, there's some of the older referees at the time, even when I was playing, there were some 50, 60 year old referees still.
Wow. Do you remember the wing commander?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we were just talking about Phil and Dave Coote, who's gone all the way.
Yeah.
You talked about, Dickie said, I didn't want to ruin the game. That's why I didn't give a penalty.
Mm.
I think all of the referees of that ilk and that time did the same, because Phil Josin did the same to me. I got taken out in the box. We were 1-0 up after 10 minutes. It was a clear penalty. And Phil said, thanks for getting up. He said, it would have killed the game. You were winning 1-0. And I wanted to make a game of it. So, I mean, what can you say? And he just said, thanks for getting up and carries on. Keep smiling. But he's such a nice guy. You can never fall out with those guys.
But it's people like Andy Hind, characters like that. They all love the game,
yeah,
and they happen to be referees, but they're all fans as well.
Mm.
You know, Andy Hind is a massive Newcastle United fan. You know, they all love the football, and they happen to be referees as well. So they will never do anything that will damage the game, and all decisions that they make is for the good of the game, which is the sort of people they are.
Well, I think I have to be honest, I'm blessed that I played with some great players at the time, you know, from Newark. And there are a lot of Newark players, and I always say this, there was a lot of Newark players could have gone out of Newark and made it into bigger clubs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame that we've always had the division like we've had British Rail, Worthington Simpson, we've had Newark Town, Flowserve, stroke Newark and Sherwood United. You've always had that division within the town. If that division could have been dissolved and all the best players at any given time could have got together to form one Newark team down the years, we'd have beaten anybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely battered anybody, because we were that good.
Yeah, we had some great players. Mm. I scored a lot of goals and I loved it, but I couldn't have done that without some of the talent that we had in Newark. And I will always say that, you know, it doesn't matter whether I play Saturdays or Sundays, I had some great players that I played with, and I will always be thankful for that.
I grew up supporting Leeds United, and Eddie Gray was our guy on the left wing, and his left foot wasn't better than Dave Mack's.
No.
You know, we had that quality of footballers in Newark.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were truly, truly blessed.
Well, I, d- did tell you this was going to go quick this hour, didn't I? And Tony, gives us a chance to come back. We can come back on. We can talk about the football more than just the general stuff.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed it so much. And thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. As you know from our many moments in pubs, I can talk all night. And this has been an absolute joy. It's been great to be back.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. As I say, time's gone quick. We've got Dean Anderson coming on in a minute to do the Soul Show. So stay tuned for that. And thanks all for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Sorry, and a liquor made me. But mama never tell you how to treat a lady.